welcome to What the Fantasy. I am Brandon Hay at HayB3.
Good evening. My name is Zadeh Cantabedian at ZCantsFF.
So we made it. We got through week one. So let's start off with just some of the thoughts we had on week one. One of the games that I was very surprised by was the Ravens-Raiders game. I thought the Ravens were going to blow out the Raiders and run for all these yards, and it was going to be an easy game. But the Raiders defense held up. They got some pressure on Lamar. I think they are trying to make Lamar into more of a passer. And I think until those receivers get healthy, they should just let Lamar run more. But, they had their chances in that game. And, it was a very exciting game, kind of sloppy at the end. But I definitely stayed up for the whole game. And, it was a crazy ending.
Yeah, that game was super exciting. I can't remember the last time I watched a game that fun, man. I was so filled with adrenaline after I watched that game. I had so much fun. Like, I felt like I went to like a theme park, and then I felt like you got off a roller coaster. That feeling of like exhilaration. I think the game that I had that left a pretty good impression on me was watching the Seahawks open it up versus the Colts. I think you really saw that offense that with Shane Waldron come to fruition that everybody was theorizing and questioning. Would they actually open it up? And sure enough, man, they were chucking it all over the Colts. You know, I could picture Pete Carroll. You can envision Pete Carroll last year just going ground and pound with that. But I mean, how many touches did Carson have? Like 16 or something like that? I don't know. But that, I remember I saw a lot of wide receivers on the field a lot during that game. So I'm happy. I'm pretty comfortable with the fact that the Seahawks are going to turn to, Russell Wilson this year. No one really spoke about it after week one finished, but Russell Wilson this year is going to burn a hole in the league. It's going to be amazing. That offense is going to be super special to watch.
Yeah, so I was in Michigan for the Washington-Michigan game. So there's surprisingly a lot of Washington fans there. So when we were still in Michigan on Sunday trying to find some games to watch, and I was like, why is there Seahawks games on everywhere? And it was all the Washington fans. And they were cheering and everything. So I got to watch some of that. And, it's what everyone's been saying. Just let Russ cook. And, it looks like Tyler Lockett's had these kind of games before. But if he can have this consistently the whole season, they could have two top 12 receivers, with Russ. So they're a very exciting team. And even with, all that Russ did, Carson still had, I think, like 80 or 90 yards. I don't think he got in the end zone, but he's going to get in there and get a couple catches. So overall, that offense is just high flying as long as they can stay healthy and they stick with, that game plan and don't get too conservative. So they're definitely very exciting.
Yeah, I think they're definitely like one of my favorites to win the NFC West. I mean, that NFC West, it's hard, but like with what Murray did last week and Stafford coming out, right out of the gate, throwing like a 65-yard bomb to Van Jefferson, and the Niners performing well. It's going to be an exciting year in the NFC West for sure.
Yeah, and a game I was very surprised by was that Cardinals-Titans game. I thought that, because that's what I picked last week about being one of the more exciting games. I thought it was going to be high scoring. Well, the Cardinals were high scoring, and the Titans didn't show up. That was very surprising. So either the Cardinals are going to might be very good this year. Or maybe the Titans kind of take a step back this year, after losing Arthur Smith, to the Falcons. So that was a very surprising game to me.
Yeah, I saw an interesting stat about the Titans that said that last Sunday was the lowest amount the lowest amount of play action they ran ever since like Tannehill was there with Arthur Smith. And when you think about it, it kind of makes sense because you run that play action, it brings that extra safety down. And you have much more of an open field to throw to, and if you're not running that play action, it's not having that guy come down in the box and they're not gonna have to bite on it. So yeah, and the Cardinals defense, man, Chandler Jones went off, got a strip sack fumble that led to a return for a touchdown, five or six sacks on the day. And they got JJ Watt over there. Dude, it's gonna be exciting defense to watch. Who knows, man? They might be one of the best defenses in the league this year. It's gonna be really interesting.
Yeah, that division could look really good. It's going to be interesting how that goes on. So any other games that stood out to you?
What else was there, man? I'm actually kind of intrigued to watch Taylor Heinicke perform this Thursday. You know, we saw him last year in the playoffs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he almost led the Washington football team to victory. So I'm really excited. And honestly, like, I don't think that Ryan Fitzpatrick looked that great in the preseason, but preseason and the regular season are two different animals. But their offensive drives just did not look good in the preseason. Like, they just did not look cohesive. Nothing looked fluid. Nothing looked organic. Nothing looked like it fit. Ryan Fitzpatrick just did not look like he fit in that offense. So, you know, Taylor Heinicke, like, it's not a massive downgrade. And I'm really excited to watch him go out there and, you know, put some work in against the Giants. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited for that.
Yeah, I am too. And it's a perfect opportunity for Heinicke, because if he performs well this year, you know, they might roll with him another year, and then he could maybe be there, because I think he's fairly young, right? I don't know how old he is, but I don't think he's been in the league that long. So he definitely could, you know, if he performs well, he could be, you know, their quarterback for the next couple of years. So it's a great opportunity for him. And his first game isn't against too tough an opponent. You know, the Giants didn't look very good against the Broncos. I don't think their defense is probably middle of the road right now. I think it's definitely an opportunity, especially on Thursday night. Everyone will be watching for him to really, you know, everyone was talking about him in that playoff game last year against the Bucs. No one really gave him a chance. So great opportunity for him.
Yeah. I think he's 28 years old, by the way. So a little up there.
Oh, he's not nearly as young as I thought he was.
Yeah, so. I thought he was younger.
Yeah, but I mean, quarterbacks play longer now, so he still has a chance regardless. Still has a chance.
Yeah.
So we'll move on here. So we're going to try out, even though on the shorter show, doing our little film breakdown. And we're going to do that this week on our boy, Kenneth Gainwell. But I wanted to let you kind of talk a little bit about your project on the game script that you did on Kenneth Gainwell this week.
Yeah, fortunately, I was able to get the Kenneth Gamel versus GameScript report done. If you want to see it, just go to my Twitter page at ZKansFF. It's pinned right to the top of the page. I'm basically looking at discussing what to expect as far as trends go and utilization for him when they're in leads or deficits. So, like, and also I'm discussing, like, what does point distribution look like during last week's game, right? Through different score sequences in the first and second half, his utilization. How many snaps did he have in the first half as opposed to the second half, which when they led, right? So first of all, I just really want to quickly say that Nick Sirianni is the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, if you don't know by now. Prior to this, he was offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts from 2018 to 2020. Kenneth Gainwell primarily is serving as a satellite back, and Miles Sanders is the primary early down back. And the satellite back is basically your scat receiving back who gets some like rushing here or there. During Nick Sirianni's tenure with the Indianapolis Colts, Nyheim Hines was a satellite back there. We all know Nyheim Hines now. He's a very accomplished satellite back, one of the best in the league. During Nick Sirianni's tenure with the Colts, Nyheim Hines, when the team led, had a median, which is basically almost like a different way of saying average, had a median of 33% of the offensive snaps. Kenneth Gainwell last night, I believe, last Sunday had 36 or 35% of the offensive snaps, right? So that's on par because the Eagles were in the lead for the second half of the game. You're going to see that hover anywhere between 30 to 35% of the snaps for Kenneth Gainwell when the Eagles have a significant lead. Now, when they're trailing, it's a different story. The satellite back under Nick Sirianni, when they're trailing, has a median of 44% of the offensive snaps. And that did increase to 70% of offensive snaps from time to time, depending on the need. Now here, Hines' rushing and receiving splits when they led or when they were trailing. When the Colts led, Nyheim Hines had a median of 79 rush attempts on the year. When he also had 71 targets on the year. Trailing, he had 103 rush attempts, which means that he was being utilized more in the game because he's the satellite back. He'll be on the field more naturally, so he'll have more rush attempts. And Miles Sanders will be relegated to more of an even split or maybe less offensive snaps. So he had 103 rush attempts, and he had 109 targets on the year. right? So you're basically going to see what I'm saying is that when the Colts were trailing, Hines saw a 24% increase in rush attempts and a 32% increase in targets. Now expect that to fluctuate when they're fluctuate more towards the higher side when they're trailing. And that's the gist of it. And there's more stuff you can look at on the report. You can look at the point distribution for Kenneth Gainwell, how he was utilized on a per down basis within different score change scenarios. And I think it's very important to look at to get a bit of a picture of what to expect when looking at games, when you're looking at if you want to decide to start him for that week, do you anticipate the Eagles to be in a lead or in a deficit during that game? Go to Vegas. How does Vegas feel about the Eagles for that week? So it's a really important tool to use when deciding when to start Kenneth Gainwell.
Yes, and I'll just echo that fact because you sent that over to me before you put it out on Twitter and let me look at it. And it was great. It was very insightful. And even though I knew some of the what you were putting in there, because obviously we've kind of looked into Gainwell in the preseason and even in the offseason before that. But it's a great tool that you're doing. And I can't wait to look at more of those each week. So let's go ahead and get started. There's so Gainwell for this particular highlight package, he has 13 plays. The first is just a short pass. And what I wanted to say before is it was interesting that he jumped Boston Scott, and Boston Scott didn't actually get any I don't know if he was on the field, but he didn't get any touches. So let's go ahead and start this first play. So it's just going to be a short little pass. Not much he can do there. So, not so. And then the second play is another short pass. He's got in, if you see, it's in the last 2 minutes of the first half. So they've even said he's going to be a lot in the game, a lot on in the 2 minute drill.
In the game script report that I wrote, you'll see that in the 2 minute drill, when towards the end of the half, as you see now, he had 100% of those snaps. So all those snaps were hit. So that's a lot of receiving work that he makes up.
So as we roll it, I mean, he's wide open, gets the ball, gets upfield, and is smart and gets out of bounds. So he's going to be able to do a lot of that in the 2 minute drill. Get a lot of short chunk plays like that. And then this next play, it's actually going to be an incomplete pass. So he kind of comes out again and it's wide to him, but you see what they're trying to do in the 2 minute offense, get him the ball, get the ball out quick. And then this next play is his first run. So I'll play that. No, nothing too special, but I mean, he does get the first down. I think it's important that they do use him. It was third one. They use him on short distances, and they, will allow him to run up the middle. Next play is another run. It's a small gain, but he has a nice little jump cut out to the outside and gets a couple extra yards.
Even though he's a small guy, he runs big. He definitely runs like a bigger guy. When he always has pads forward and he falls forward a lot. And it's really cool to see him too running like a power run scheme, like on that last play when each blocker takes up one defender, and he just has to find that hole and hit it really hard.
Definitely. And this next play, there's 15 seconds left. He actually scores a touchdown here, but it gets called back. But it's just we'll roll it and you can just see kind of what they're trying to do with him. And they're just trying to get him in the ball in space and let him work his magic. So as we roll it, just comes out. It actually kind of looked like it was supposed to be a shovel pass maybe, but Hurts kind of rolls out and still gets it to him and he gets in. But one of the linemen was illegally downfield. But
definitely a design play for Kenneth Gainwell on that one.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. You tell that Nick Sirianni's very excited about using Kenneth Gainwell here. Like he's very excited. He's very enthusiastic. He couldn't wait to get him on the field. Boston Scott saw 0% of snaps. And in that breath real quick, I want to say Miles Sanders does go down with an injury. As sad as I am to say, I don't think it's going to be Kenneth Gainwell with the majority of the early down work. I think that's when you'll see a lot more Boston Scott. But it'll be more of an even split in neutral game script. I don't think it's going to be Kenneth Gainwell relegated to like 30-ish percent of the snaps and, Boston Scott taking 60, 65% of snaps.
I think it's exciting for him too, because I don't consider Miles Sanders not a back that can't catch the ball or that can't play, you know, in a 2-minute offense. So for them to take him out of the game, one of their better players, and put Gainwell in, it just shows how much faith they have in him. Absolutely. So this Nets play, it's another run up the middle. So we'll roll it. I like how he just goes straight up the middle and gets as many yards as he can. A lot of times in the so-called scat backs, they kind of run around and run horizontally, but he'll just go straight up the middle and get all the yards he can.
Was this a draw play or is this a nice little – yeah, nice just little jump cut. They got duo blocking. So, what was that, second and three? Yeah.
Yes, it was second and three. So
second and three in the ninth. Yeah, 9 minutes and 10. So, you know, look at that little jump cut. He's going to be a tough little bastard to keep – he's going to be a tough guy to keep an eye on for a little linebackers, dude. He's skittish, man. He's very skittish.
Right, yeah, and I love how he sets that play up. You know, he kind of is leaning towards going to the left, then jumps, does a jump cut to the right to kind of get through that hole.
Yeah,
good operation. So this one, this wasn't necessarily a successful play, but this is still, you know, a close game, 15-6. It's fourth and two, and they keep Gamo in and let him run it. And he actually doesn't get the first down. But I think the fact that they have him in at this certain situation just shows how much they do like him and, you know, want him in all kinds of different scenarios. So I think that's a positive. And here, you know, he got that touchdown call back earlier. But this play, around the 8-yard line, still a close game, 9-point game. So it wasn't too out of hand. And he's in, you know, inside the 20. So we'll just roll it here in the shotgun. And it's great blocking. You know, he just follows his blocks. But I think the fact that he just is in the game, you know, inside the 10 is another positive for, you know, him the rest of the year.
So that play was after a big Miles Sanders run. So I think I don't know if I got to be honest, I don't know if they're going to plan to bring him in for,
I got you.
You know what I mean? But like during that, so that was in the second half in the 15-6 score scenario. And according to the report, he was on the field for only 5 of 19 snaps, 5 of 19 total snaps within that score sequence, that 15-6 score sequence. So you can start to see like his snaps start to come down in the second half once the game starts to go on, and he only had 26% of the snaps for that score sequence. So like, yeah, they're in the lead. His snap starts coming down. In the first half, he had 17 of 35 snaps, which was 46% of the snaps. In the second half, he had 8 of 33 snaps, which is 24% of snaps. So that's more than a 20% reduction of snaps in the second half.
All right, and this Nets play, I believe it's another run, but this time they get penetration. And one thing, even though that Gainwell shows some power, if you get him in the backfield, he's not going to be able to carry defenders very well. So that is the one thing. If defenders get to him pretty quickly before he can get going, he's not really able to just power through them. So this is another run, kind of read option. He takes it up for, you know, around 5 yards. I think there's one more play after this. Yeah, it's kind of just another run up the middle. So, so that's the review of Kenny's game tape. And I think it was a good first game. You know, he had, I think 11 total touches, 43 yards and a touchdown. So it was a strong, strong start for him.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful start out of the gate for the entire Eagles offense. Everybody executed really well and played really well inside the system that Nick Sirianni designed for them. I think Jalen Hurts performed really well. Next week's going to be an interesting test. We know the San Francisco Niners are without what's the cornerback's name? I don't know. I'm blanking on it now. Jason Verrett towards ACL.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
You got Eric Armstead, who's questionable. You got a few other guys who are questionable, like key guys on the defensive line. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. They are already hurting on that defensive front. And the secondary, and Emmanuel Mosley, there. I think their other cornerback did not practice today as well.
Yeah, so the 49ers are already going through their yearly injuries. So, but we'll move on to quickly I found a dynasty trade on Twitter. It's Superflex PPR 0.5 tight end premium. So one side gets DeAndre Hopkins, Christian McCaffrey, our boy Kenny Gainwell, and a 2022 third. And the other side gets Rojo, Ronald Johnson, Cam Akers, who, as we know, is injured, Trevor Lawrence, and Trey Lance. So obviously the one side is, you know, a lot of possible for the future, those two young quarterbacks, where the other side with D-Hop and CMC, you can win now. So what are your thoughts on this trade? It probably depends on the makeup of your team, but what are your thoughts?
See, this is why I hate Superflex, man. Because, like, you have great talents like DeAndre Hopkins and Christian McCaffrey, and you're like, what? You're like, I'm supposed to pass up on him for Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence? Like, this is why I can't stand this kind of stuff. I guess it's going to be Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence because it's Superflex, and quarterbacks are so big in Superflex. Like, you need that quarterback at that Superflex position. But, ugh, God, it's so gross. Passing about DeAndre Hopkins and Christian McCaffrey. Who else? Christian McCaffrey and who else?
Kenny Gainwell. And, well, I mean, they threw in a 2022 third. I mean, that doesn't really mean anything. I don't know. I would probably either try to keep D-Hop or CMC in that that scenario and throw something else out there. Even if I just get one of those quarterbacks, the Rojo thing, I don't even care about that because unless he goes to another team and says he can be a starter,
team, he's not going to even be that great if he goes to another. I mean, whatever, dude. Like, he's not that great of a running back. He's okay. Like, he's just some other guy. Like, he's nothing special.
Oh, I know. Ever since his rookie year, I've been out on him because everyone was talking about how good he was going to be and everything, and I fell for it. Fell for it.
Yeah.
So I fell for it. So yeah. So that's the dynasty trade. So now we'll talk. Do a little part where talk about our little fun segment. And this one, for anyone that has played NCAA football on either Xbox or PlayStation, they have a part called Road to Glory where you can pick a player, pick a position. You play that player through high school. You get offers for different schools, and then you can pick whatever college you go to, and you can do that. And then some versions, quite a few years ago, you could even transfer that over to Madden and put that into a franchise. So I thought today we would talk about what position we would want to play, where we would want to go to college, and then, you know, after college, what would be our dream NFL team to play for. So I'll let you go first.
Okay, so the first question is what position I want to play for?
Yes.
I would want to play wide receiver just because I'm a tall, lanky guy. I feel like I just profile better as a wide receiver, like a cornerback probably, but a wide receiver, I guess. And play, I think, like, I do best in like an Oregon style offense, or maybe like a UCLA Chip Kelly offense, kind of like, just, I don't know, Oregon. I think like they're like a spread. They're like a spread offense, and they just constantly chuck it all the time. So, you know, they're not really focused on the run too much. I just feel like I'd do better there. And I would wait. What, the final one of what NFL team?
Yeah, what NFL team?
The Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. This wasn't on the sheet, but another question: in the recruiting process, what would be the most important thing to you?
Oh, as if like if I got to start immediately or not?
Or like, you know, a nice school, you know, a cool like atmosphere. Kind of like Oregon, you know, all the different uniforms and everything.
Yeah.
Academics, you know, what a big city.
I think a great, you know, academic program, first and foremost, is, you know, something of an esteemed college football program. And I think Oregon does have a good program. Also, like, I do like the coast of the West Coast, the Northwest Coast of America, United States of America. And I also do, like, I don't know why I don't know why I said America. I don't know why I said that. But I do like that region. It's like a lot more, it's a lot more cooler and hospitable to play in. So I think those few things. And I don't mind the fog. So I think those, but as far as like starting immediately, I wouldn't mind if I had to sit for a year and just kind of like, you know, play second string or whatever. But yeah, that's about it. I don't really know. I really don't know too much about the scouting process. I wouldn't know what, you know, is there good food there? I think there's good food there, right? So
I believe, I mean, you like, I mean, I think they have like sushi and seafood out there.
I love
right?
sushi. I absolutely love
yeah.
sushi.
Yeah. See, there you go. Yeah. So I guess I would play either tight end or a linebacker. I think I like tight end because, well, for draft prospect, you know, tight ends in college don't usually have huge numbers, you know, like Travis Kelce does. So you could just, you know, have moderate, you know, success and still get a chance in the NFL. And I think linebacker would be fun because you kind of get a little bit of both. You get to stick your nose in there, you know, stop the run, and then you get to cover sometimes. So, you know, I think that would be fun to do and everything. And I think particularly I would go to maybe a middle major school, I guess that's what they call it, like a Memphis or a UCF. If I could play right away, you'd still get on some national TV games, still compete, you know, for some bowls and get on TV. And then we've seen that players from, you know, Memphis, like Kenny Gainwell and Antonio Gibson, from those type of schools can get there, and the competition wouldn't be so much where you'd always be worried that they're going to bring in a five-star guy to take over for you. So I know that's kind of maybe a cop-out way of doing that, but I would just want to make sure I get to play, you know, the whole time that I'm in college. And NFL-wise, I don't know if there's a specific team that I would want to play for. One team I definitely would not want to play for is the Steelers or the Ravens. I hate the Steelers and Ravens. So any other team is on the table.
Didn't know that. Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. I definitely wouldn't want to play for Kyle Shanahan because who knows when the hell he pull you and freaking not activate you. That's the only time I almost cussed on the show when I was talking about Kyle Shanahan. But, don't want to play for him.
Okay, and we'll end the show. This is what we'll do during the season. First, there's going to be a fantasy frustration segment where we started a player and he didn't come through, and we, you know, it cost us. And then a fantasy miracle segment where we might not have this every week, but we both have one, and it's for the same team. So first with the frustration, mine was with Elijah Moore. All we've heard is during the preseason how great he's looked. You know, how much he's going to be involved in the offense. You know, he had 3 or 4 targets, 1 catch for -3 yards. He, I know it was his first game, and I did read, because I did not get to watch this game, that, you know, he had a couple of drops in the first half. But for someone that was supposed to be so involved that I thought they were going to get, you know, the ball in his hand so many different ways, I was just very disappointed in that because they were also, you know, losing for most of that game against the Panthers, not by a lot, but I just thought they would get him the ball more. So that was really disappointing for my fantasy team. And second, because I love Elijah Moore coming out of Ole Miss. He's one of, him and Rondale Moore are my two favorite players, rookies coming out. So I hope this is just a one game type of thing. I've already gotten some really bad trades for Elijah Moore because I guess people think that just because he had that one bad game, I'm just going to, you know, throw him away for, you know, like Henry Ruggs. I got offered straight up Elijah Moore for Henry Ruggs. I was like, no, I'll pass.
Remember this conversation that we're having in week one right now, when it's like week 10 or week 11, and Elijah Moore is destroying everybody. Just remember that. Just like the Jets this week came out, Zach Wilson's first game. I called week one baby deer legs week because it seems like a lot of teams had their baby deer legs where they're like really shaky and just trying to figure things out and get a good grasp on the earth beneath them. So wait till week 10 when Elijah Moore, this whole fantasy experience we're having right now is going to be completely turned on its head. So Elijah Moore is an absolute great player. I guess disappointment, not a great disappointment, but something that was underwhelming more so was Antonio Gibson's performance. And also all the fantasy running backs I had on my team, I was upset with, not upset, but just upset. What the hell happened with the fumbles this week? Nick Chubb fumbled. Antonio Gibson fumbled. Chris Carson fumbled. Like, everybody fumbled. Like, Antonio Gibson fumbled. And I know Ron Rivera is kind of a stickler for that kind of shit. And I don't want to piss him off. I don't want Antonio Gibson to piss him off. Antonio Gibson did have 20 rushes and he had 3 or 4 targets, which is great. I'm glad, but that's what I want to continue happening. Like, I don't want Antonio Gibson. Like, he had 20 rushes for like 90 yards. And also, like, the Chargers run defense isn't that great. Like, it's, and Washington has like a pretty solid like offensive line. So I don't know what they run a lot of great. They have a really good run scheme. Antonio Gibson, he runs really hard. He looked really good, but man, I was just hoping for more. I don't know. I when I think about Antonio Gibson, I think about like, you know, 15 to 20 point week, fantasy point week outings all time. I'm sure it's coming. I'm just being impatient.
Definitely. Yeah. I didn't get to watch that game either, but I was surprised. I thought Washington would win that game, and Herbert had over 300 yards. He didn't have a lot. He maybe had one touchdown, but he had a lot of yards, which I was surprised by because Washington's defense is pretty good. So fantasy miracles. I brought it up earlier, the Ravens Raiders game. There was actually one league I was down like 50 points going into that game, but I had Derek Carr and Darren Waller. So I squeaked out the win in that one by, I think, 0.1. So, and there's another league where I just needed, you know, a touchdown from Derek Carr. So it was an overtime. You know, they had that long pass to Bryan Edwards. I thought I had a touchdown, didn't. Then he had the quarterback sneak that didn't get in. So I was like, oh, they're going to give Josh Jacobs. Then they throw it. He's open. Get bounced up, interception. I'm like, all right, I lost because, you know, the Ravens are going to score here. And then miraculously, you know, they get the ball back. He throws that, and then they were going to kick a field goal. Then they get the delay of game, bring the offense back on the field. Then he throws that bomb to Zay Jones, of all people.
Dude.
And it was like one of the biggest miracles I think I've ever had.
I forgot about the delay of game call. I forgot about the delay of game call, man. Wow, dude.
Because they would have kicked the field goal. They would have kicked the field goal if they didn't get that delay of game.
And Carlson nailed like a 55-yard field goal.
I know. So it was the miracle of miracles.
Yeah. Wow, man. And then like a Zay Jones bomb that nobody saw coming. Yeah, I didn't really have any miracles because I only won in one league, the one league that I care about, and I lost in like 4 other leagues. So I obviously didn't have any miracles happen in those leagues. I'm just happy that, you know, I'm in my home league. We're a redraft league, and I've mentioned this before. I like having this redraft league because it's refreshing to not play in a serious league with a bunch of like, no, this actually, this, the other leagues I play in are serious because they have analysts and everybody takes their like, you know, pick seriously. And everybody's like, they know everything. But this league, I take this the most serious. Like the guys I play with are crazy. Like they're insane. Like they make the craziest decisions, but I have Darren Waller on my team and I only needed 2.5 points from him to win the week, and he got me 20 or something like that. But
yeah, watching, he got you that on the first drive.
Yeah, pretty much. He got me in the first quarter. I came home, but no, anyways, watching somebody like Darren Waller play and having like a tight end, I've never had a reliable tight end in this league. I can't remember the last time I've had a great tight end, and I want this to last the entire season. I hope he just is able to play the entire season. So being able to experience that, you know, the guy had 19 targets. So anybody out there that hasn't experienced this yet, be sure to draft somebody like Darren Waller over a receiver like Justin Jefferson, because what you're essentially getting is a Justin Jefferson or an AJ Brown in your tight end slot. Okay. So be sure to go ahead and draft somebody like that next year in the draft when something like that happens. Draft a guy who's going to get 19 targets in one game, dude, in one game. Okay. Tight ends are so great. Elite tight ends are so great. Go get one of those.
I agree.
Right now for one. Yeah,
I agree, and I love Darren Waller. It helps that they don't have a lot of good options at receiver. Maybe Bryan Edwards can be that. Even though they waited 59 minutes not throwing him the ball, and then he had like 3 catches within like 4 minutes. And Rudd's finally got a catch, but I love Darren Waller. I think he's the second best tight end in the league right now, behind Kelsey. I would pick him over Kittle right now just because, you know, he seems to stay on the field and gets the ball more. And So yeah, so that is the show for tonight. So so you can catch our YouTube channel and find us on Apple and Spotify, the podcast form. So I am Brandon at HeyB3.
And I'm Zadeh Kantsabedian at ZKantsFF.
All right, thanks for tuning in.